Hello, you're listening to a podcast by Speak Up Radio, sharing some of the features and interviews we've done with inspiring people and organisations across London. Here, you'll get all the chat, insights and information, but you won't get any of the music, and that's because of how licensing works. To get the full experience, tune into the radio station 24/7 by visiting www.advocacyproject.org.uk/speakupradio. This work has been supported by Imperial Health Charity.
Hello, my name is Jude. I'm going to be your host today on Speak Up Radio for the Advocacy Project. I am now a Turning Point peer mentor. Turning Point is an organisation that helps and supports people with a drug or alcohol dependency. I've been with them for 5 to 6 years now and would like to spread the word on how people can support themselves in these trying times. Today I'm going to be talking to Nick Julius, who is an ETE support person, which is education, training and employment. And also we'll be talking to Simon about the Innovation Fund and future slots about peer mentoring and a little bit about my story about how I've got through life through my depressions. But first of all, let's go on to speak to Nicholas.
Hi, good morning, everyone. At the moment, of course, it's a bit of a mad world and everybody seems to be on the well-being spectrum of some sorts. We all need support in some ways. I've got a great citizen, Simon, here.
Good afternoon.
Who will be also involved in asking Nick quite a few questions, who's from Turning Point. And he's going to talk about ETE. Now I'll pass you over to Nick to actually explain what ETE is and how do you go about claiming it. So over to you, Nick. Good morning, first of all.
Good morning.
Hope you're well.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm very pleased to be here. So Turning Point is a social enterprise involved in health and social care, has many wings. It does stuff around learning difficulties, employment, some supported housing. I'm in a bit that deals with substance misuse, and so that's the sector that I work in. And ETE is a very, very strange term that nobody really uses outside substance misuse for some reason. It stands for education, training and employment. So although I'm embedded within a substance misuse team, I don't really do any direct work around helping people to get off opioids or whatever it is they're taking. That's somebody else's job. My job is about connecting people to a better future because, I mean, there is this idea, I think, when you come off drugs that everything is going to be, or alcohol, whatever it is, everything's going to suddenly fix itself and that suddenly you'll be catapulted into the fifth dimension and you won't have any worries because, you know, the big problem has been your drug and alcohol use. But the truth is that when we stop doing those things, actually what we begin to see is life with a bit more clarity. And, you know, that drug and alcohol habit has done a lot for us. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been doing it for years. You know, it's eased our pain. It's got rid of some boredom. It's made us ignore problems that, you know, are knocking at the door. So if the flat's not looking great, you know, you've got that pile of bills building up and, you know, everything is, you've got no clothing to wear that's any good. And, you've fallen out with all the people that you care about and you've lost your job. It's not so bad while you're in it. But when you come out of it, then you look at the wreckage around you and you think, well, I mean, I think the problem has been in the past when we weren't doing this, that people would go, I think I'm actually better off when I was drinking. At least it wasn't so obvious, all these problems in my life. You know, at least I could ignore them. And also I could put them down to, well, you know, what can be expected of me? You know, what can be expected of me because I have an addiction. So, you know, my expectations for myself and the expectations of others are bound to be low. But then you start back into this world and there's a sense that you've forgotten who you are and what you were good at because because those things have stopped being a part of your daily life. All that you've been doing for the last X number of years is kind of using or finding the money to use or, you know, finding the next fix. And you've forgotten, was there stuff I liked before this? Did I enjoy music? Was I good at creative writings? Did I have a job? You know, and all that stuff seems impossible. And, you know, even the fact that you might think, well, I'd like to go back to work, but, you know, I've got 10 years of nothing on my CV and I've got a criminal record now. And I don't even know if I could learn anymore. And have I done myself so much damage in all this time that I'm not capable of that anymore? So, you know, even from a very, because we don't require people to be abstinent when they start working with us, but we can start building that bridge to the rest of the world. So, you know, so you might start, even when you're still in it, you might say, listen, I don't really get out of it till afternoon. So I could do an art class in the morning. You know, if as long as I have a drink before I go, I'll be all right for a couple of hours. And that can be your first contact with people outside that strange kind of world, you know, the norms, right? And to use a sort of Harry Potter world, you know, like I think there's a kind of sense that we're all in this strange wizarding world and everybody else is a muggle. and there's a sense that, you know, I don't fit with that, with everybody else. And so when we get people into volunteering, when we get people into learning, they begin to just rediscover their self-worth, rediscover that they have skills. And, you know, eventually people get back to work and that's liberating because, you know what, I'm not bored when I'm at work. I have a sense of fulfillment when I'm at work. I've got some money coming in, so I start feeling some pride. I can start giving back to some people, you know, that maybe I borrowed off in the past. And that, you know, that whole thing, work doesn't have to be paid, but the whole idea of it is that kind of lift of self-esteem and that kind of normalization. And I think, so that's what ET is about. It's about being that bridge to a better life, because otherwise you're just stuck in this kind of no man's land of sort of abstinence, but what?
Exactly. Well, I mean, the words you've mentioned there, forgotten stuff, because I've been through my own problems as well, of depressions, and it'd be 6 years, I think, next month that I, exactly the words you use, you've forgotten a load of stuff. And you don't feel like you can actually cope in coming back to so-called normal life. But we'll take a little bit of a break there. And I'm going to ask you, you said you've got a bit of music, record or so that might be, I don't know, related to your life or whatever, or this subject. But if it doesn't, it doesn't matter.
This is a very cruel question, asking somebody to pick out two songs.
I know.
Because I love music and it's my greatest regret that I can't play anything. I keep trying. I have a ukulele on the wall and a guitar, both gathering dust. I tried to go to some singing lessons online, in fact, but it didn't really work out. But yeah, so I do like music and I haven't, picked out things that, because I think, you know, you've been listening to music for so long, it's difficult to pick out two songs.
Yes, of course.
So these are just things that sort of struck me. The first one I'm going to pick out is by a band called Alabama 3. I don't know if you've heard them. They're a Brixton-based band.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they sing a lot about sort of addiction and things as well. So, they call themselves Country Acid House.
Well, they're covering a few genres there.
They really are. So the piece I'm picked for is a song called Woody Guthrie, which was released in 2002.
Yeah.
And if you think about going back to that 2002, I think we'd gone into Afghanistan the year before. We were New Labour. It was the second Tony Blair administration. George W. Bush was in power and he was talking about the axis of evil. And the song is sort of based around that time. And of course, we're beginning to see the refugee crisis from Afghanistan. And we're beginning to see, like, the BNP was, I don't think UKIP were really much of a thing, but the BNP had started to raise their ugly head. Yeah. And they were down in Oldham. And I think they got elected. and they were talking a lot about refugees and foreigners. And it was just the beginning of the wedge of that kind of, you know, where we've got to now with this Brexit thing, and, you know, with the kind of us and them and the footballification of politics, you know, where it's us and them and you have to take a side, and it doesn't matter what anybody does, as long as they're wearing your scarf colour, then you can forgive it. And you know, the song's sort of talks about that. It talks about, you know, about, he says, I think the song says, I cut no slack for the Union Jack. Stars and Stripes have got me jet lagged.
Right.
You know, the idea of, and he's very, and you listen to the song and it's really prescient about where we are today, and about, you know, especially now, because we've got a new refugee crisis, haven't we?
Well, it's repeating. History seems to be repeating itself, and it's very prominent at the moment. So, love to play that song for you.
Thank you.
And then afterwards, Simon will be asking you a couple more questions about the ET, if you don't mind. So until that moment, enjoy the song, folks.
Hi, I'm Simon. I'm Jude's co-presenter here today. I'm also a volunteer at Turning Point, and also the alcohol service, CGL.
Yeah.
So I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about ET.
Good. One of my favourite things to talk about.
I'm delighted to hear it. It's perfect for a radio programme on the subject.
I have nothing more to say on ET. That's it.
Tell me, who does ET support?
Well, in this borough, so we operate in Hammersmith and Fulham, in Kensington, Chelsea, and in Westminster. And other services may well have other ETE workers, although they don't all, which is a shame, because I think, you know, I do think it's like central to recovery. But Turning Point have put a premium on it, and luckily so have the local authorities that support our service. So we have quite a big team. There's, I think, about six of us. What the people we're looking to support is anybody from any service in our three boroughs, which is Kensington and Chelsea, Westminster and Hammersmith and Fulham. Anybody who's had an alcohol or drug problem in the past, so you could not have one now, it could be years ago. You don't have to be with our main service to get support from us. So we can just deal with people at any point in their recovery. It could be 20 years later, they can just self-refer in. We also work with anybody who's been impacted by the drug and alcohol use of a close family member or a partner, because we recognise that those people need our help too. So unfortunately we can't work with people outside our boroughs because we're not commissioned to do so. But there are, for example, WDP offer a pan-London employment programme that that you can access from anywhere based in London. And many of the services will have people like me attached to them.
And what do you and what can you do to help these people?
So let's say that you were referred to me, or you self-referred, Simon. We would have a chat, and I'd say, tell me a little bit about your past. Tell me a little bit about your substance misuse, because that can impact on what you can do. What are your goals? What would you like to do? And then we would, you know, it's not like the job centre where it's like, okay, you've come to see me, now you're going to a CV workshop, and then we're going to send you to a literacy course, and then you can go and do your CSCS card course, and that's done. And that, you know, we are very lucky about how we're commissioned. So they're not particularly interested in, you know, in those sorts of outcomes, that you know, those quantitative outcomes. They're interested in qualitative ones. So you might say to me, listen, I think I'd like to give back, or I think I'd like to train to help other people like me, or you might say I need a job. Or you might say, look, I have a real interest in Etruscan pottery. Can you find me an Etruscan pottery course? And I would then go away and try and do those things for you, or find those things for you. And then on top of that, I would be looking at, you know, because of some of these times, sometimes these courses cost money, and I would be looking at, how can we fund that for you? How can we make that affordable, or possibly a possible no cost to you? But that's fundamentally what we do. We take a holistic look at who you are, what you want, what your goals are, what you're ready for, because we don't want to set anybody up to fail. There's no point in You know, sometimes it's about extricating people from work. It's not always about putting people in work. So let's say, you know, you're working in a very boozy industry and you're in early recovery from alcohol. You probably need to look at what you're doing, because that's not a healthy place for you to be. So we might talk to you about a career change or how you could extricate yourself from what you're currently doing. So yeah, it's really about listening to the person, what their goals are, and then putting together an action plan to try and deliver.
And can you give us some examples of success stories?
I mean, there are so many. I mean, so Turning Point have a system where people can submit compliments about the service. And from the last time I heard, 90% of the compliments that came into the door service were about education, training, and employment. And that's because we get to do this really cool part of the job, which is make people's lives better. We make people happy, you know. So that, you know, we have just tremendous a number of these stories. I mean, so one that I'm thinking of so sometimes it's like, so I remember I've been working with this lady for many, many years. And I remember her first coming in, and she'd basically been shut in for years. You know, she agoraphobic, drinking at home, never going out, PTSD, right, severe anxiety disorders, and just never got out. And you know, I said, look, you know, can you come meet me in the office? And I don't know, she showed some bravery, and she got in a taxi because she couldn't bear to come by public transport. And I met her and she was shaking, you know, and just, you know, really, really scared. And I, you know, and it was a big, big wide world. And, you know, we started very gently with her. And she, you know, she did she did a course with us, actually. I think we were running something called Learn to Earn at the time. And that was, you know, and that got her out, and it was like a regular thing, and she was seeing people. And then, you know, she went and did some volunteering, and she went and various courses. And when I meet her today, she goes out all the time. She has lots of friends. She's a real community figure. Everybody in the community knows her. And she's just living her best life, and she's not drinking. And she is, you know, there are still those fears there. You know, she still has those anxieties. But she's liberated, and you know, there's a sense that, you know, I don't know, you know, she did it herself, but we helped give her that key to that freedom, and it can be small things, you know. So this is not somebody who is now in a high power job. In fact, what she's studying, she's doing an Open University course now, I think it's in nutrition and psychology. And she would like to go on to university, but these things would have been beyond her wildest imaginations 5 years ago.
So it's good to hear that this is more than about just employment.
Oh, it's definitely more.
But can you also give us a story that about somebody finding employment?
So here's a chap who came to me, and he was in a hostel, and he talked about wanting to be, you know, he wanted a trade. And I said, look, you know, there's a lot of work out there for gas fitters. It's good, really well paid as well, because everybody has to have these smart meters now. So he said he wanted to do that. And the course I found for him, because it's quite difficult to find courses that are funded, government funded, but the one that does exist is on the border of Essex. You can get there by, you can get there by public transport, but it's a drag. It's a long way away, you know. And there's a walk at the end of it. And it's a year's 9 months course, and it's really tough. It's like a level three course in gas fitting. It's no easy feat to do. And he studied it while living in a fairly chaotic hostel, which I just admired the hell out of. And he got down to Essex 3 days a week, and it was expensive to get down there, apart from anything else, you know. I did manage to find him the funding, actually, for it. So the course didn't cost him anything. It's about £6,000-£7,000 course. But he finished and immediately was employed. And his family, who were, you know, so pleased with what he'd achieved, got him a white van. you know, second-hand white van, and he, now he's earning much more than I am, which is a little bit more annoying than you'd imagine.
That's a wonderful story. That's really good to hear. So then finally, how do clients find out about this, and how do they apply to you?
So they tend to be, so all the agencies like CGL and Turning Point, obviously, because that's us, and the Club Drug Clinic and Build on Belief, all those kind of local services know about us, and they can directly refer to us. And, you know, we encourage them to do so. But we also, you can also just phone the service. You can just call us. We have, you know, if you phone one of our main buildings and say, I'd like to talk to somebody from ETE and leave a number, I'll get a contact, I'll get an email, then I'll call you back. But one of my team will call you back, one of our team will call you back.
So how can they find you? What do they Google?
Turning Point, Drug and Alcohol Wellbeing Service at Three Boroughs. But, you know, if you type ETE and, like, your type your drug service, you know, what's my local drug service? And then you can always give them a call and say, are you aware of an ETE service? And even if, you know, there'll be somebody there who will be able to probably point you in the right direction.
Thank you very much. That's very good to hear.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot, Simon. Just continuing with that sort of thing. I mean, you mentioned the London boroughs. Are you nationwide?
So Turning Point is, but yeah. I'm not.
Okay. But people, obviously, because it's a podcast going out nationwide.
So I guess that the point is that it is a bit of a postcode lottery as to whether the service will have, whether your particular service will have funding for ETE. But if you put in, you know, support, employment support, you know, for your local area, you might find something. Also, the volunteer centres, which are around the country, you know, they are a massive resource for people. You know, and, you know, it's not, I keep saying, you know.
That's all right. So do I.
Yeah, so just, I mean, Google is your friend.
Yeah.
Use it.
The other question, all walks of life, ages, backgrounds?
Everybody from CEOs to, you know, somebody who has been street homeless for many years. Everybody, because, you know, one thing we do know is that alcohol is not classist.
No, exactly.
It impacts everybody across the social divide. And, you know, people, the falls that people have can come from great heights as well as, you know.
I agree, because from my own episodes, having grave depressions all my life, I used to binge, and obviously people didn't even realise. And now my trade was being a chef, but I utilise, I can't do full-time chefing now, and the help that I got from Turning Point is that I teach now, and I probably earn a tenth of what I used to, and I'm hugely more happier. So what you've said, I can relate to, and I do ask listeners, if you're in that position, please do pick up the phone or Google ETE. And thank you so much, Nick. Thank you very much, Simon, in the background. And I shall ask you for your final selection of music.
Okay, well, I've ummed and ahed about this one. I decided I'd go for, because I don't know about you, but comes an age in your life where you just stop listening to any new music. I think your brain goes to a point and says, no, that's enough music.
Yes.
And I think mine stopped about, you know, the year 2000. So I decided I would pick something that's a bit modern, just to kind of...
Okay. You know, how modern's modern?
2020, how good's that?
Okay, right. Pretty good.
It's not really a modern band, though. I mean, there's a bit of a sort of cross back to the last tune I chose, because... this is a band called The Chicks, and they used to be called The Dixie Chicks.
Oh, I remember The Dixie
And they
Chicks,
changed
yes.
their names because Dixie is not particularly...
okay.
perhaps this time and age. And so, you know, so they were, you know, they've been popular for quite a while, but I think it was about 2003, they came to London and they did this gig. And they talked about George W. Bush, because the war had been going on. And they said, we're ashamed that George W. Bush has comes from Texas, because that's where they're from.
Yeah.
And it absolutely blew up for them. They got cancelled on every country music radio station, wow, just about in America for saying that. And, you know, that was a time when we weren't Spotifying and we weren't Apple Musicing. So, you know, to be cancelled from country music as a country music artist was, you know, huge. So really sort of, you know, brave, I think, of them to say that. Maybe they didn't know quite what the fallout was going to be, but it was just massive. Anyway, this song I've chosen is called March, March. And it's about... Again, it's a kind of follow-up to the last tune I chose in terms of theme, because it's about, you know, the world as it is and right now. I suppose, you know, it's a kind of "We Didn't Start the Fire" from Billy Joel, that kind of theme of song. But it's kind of saying that, you know, our generation has made such a mess. I mean, honestly. And now, you know, our young people are going to have to pick up from that, and they're talking about... And it, you know, it talks about gun violence, which actually the other song did as well, but it talks about the environment and all the things, like, you know, that kind of, because America's become a very dark place as well, you know, that, and I mean, who'd have thought we'd have Boris Johnson, Donald Trump,
well,
leaders, you know.
And what's happening in Europe at this particular moment, especially in my lifetime.
But yeah, March, March by March, the Chicks.
And as you said, the Chicks were very brave in their statements. Yeah. And I hope our listeners today have that feeling as well, be brave themselves, pick up that phone or Google ETE. So thank you so much for what you said, Nick. And here's the Chicks with March, March.
March, march to my own drum. March, march to my own.
Okay, so thank you very much, Nick, and I hope everybody enjoyed his choices of music, but most of all, being so informative with that subject. But now I would love to introduce Simon. So good morning to you, Simon.
Hello.
And I know you're going to talk about the Innovation Fund and the Big Ideas Grants. Innovation Fund has been actually good for me. And Billy, my assistant, of course, will be asking you a few questions as well, and we'll get your two choices of music, because I know you're a big music fan. But first of all, quite simply, what is the Innovation Fund and the Big Ideas Grant?
Well, they are two schemes designed to promote the involvement of service users, both within the within CGL, which is the alcohol service, and Turning Point, the drug and alcohol service, for the three boroughs of Westminster, Kensington and Chelsea, and Hammersmith and Fulham. And they're all to help service users integrate and reintroduce themselves if necessary, get involved in the community. Based around the five ways of well-being, connect, be active, take notice, learn, and give. And the two schemes, one, the Big Ideas Grant is for amounts up to £500. And then we have the Innovation Fund, which goes up to £2,500. And those can be either... The schemes can be either for face-to-face, now we're coming out of COVID, or up to £1,000, they can be. It can be for projects online. They're obviously slightly smaller amounts of money because putting putting programs online is inherently cheaper. Anything that involves the participation of service users in community projects.
Absolutely brilliant. And as I said, I've been part of the Innovation Fund and I applied by being a service user for Turning Point. And I then became a peer mentor. And as I said before in the program, I was a chef and I couldn't do full-time employment, but I used the Innovation Fund to help the community and teach cooking. So that was fantastic for me. So who else is it for?
It can be for It can be for, it can be any project that involves, not necessarily exclusively, but anything that, that involves users of either service. And we try to be very broad in our interpretation of that. So there are obviously a few restrictions that it obviously it has to be away from drugs and alcohol, and anything which tends to compound problems rather than help people solve them. But beyond that, we can do anything. And to give you an example, we last year we financed a project for beekeeping. And that was done by a wonderful guy called Ali, who comes from Syria, and he kept bees there, and he wanted to he finds it a very therapeutic, relaxing process. Beekeeping can, it doesn't have to be even about the production of honey; it can be just around pollination. And he wanted to roll that out to a number of people, including the service users. Just because it's a rewarding, relaxing, productive thing to do.
And was that the innovation fund or the big ideas club?
That was the thank you for asking for the distinction. The big ideas fund, being for smaller amounts of money, is a relatively easy application process. The innovation fund having a maximum of 2,500, and we have to bear in mind it is public money. We do need a degree of organization. We need things like projects need to have bank accounts. We need to see receipts, and we need to know pretty much how it's going to work, who's going to run it, that they have premises, that they have suitably qualified people, that sort of thing. But we try not to make the application process too complicated. The idea is that in applying, we ask people to demonstrate that they're in a position to organize the project that they wish to run. But we don't want to make it too complicated.
I suppose if you are part of CGL or Turning Point, there'll probably be people to support you, help you fill out the forms.
And indeed, the ETE service has backed a number of projects, and they are very helpful indeed at helping their clients make the applications.
Hey, that's a beautiful connection, especially with what Nick said earlier. But before we go on, I think it's time for your piece of music. If you could announce that and say why.
I would like, as the first one, George Thorogood and the Destroyers playing Haircut. And the reason is that ever since I was a kid, I've been told to get a haircut. And this is a lovely song about somebody who doesn't, and it doesn't matter.
Yes, I mean, well, before Simon came on, he was singing some of the lyrics, and I think you'd enjoy it and put a smile on your face. So here's George Thorogood, is it? And Haircut, and speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Hi, back again with Simon, who's talking about the Innovation Fund and the Big Ideas funding. Thank you for your piece of music, Haircut, there. I hope the listeners enjoyed that. So just to continue from what we said before about this, who this supports, this funding, but more to the point, how do clients find out, or people find out about this, and how do they apply for it?
Well, the forms to apply are on roadstowellbeing.com. That's roads to wellbeing, all as one word. And there they'll find three things. Firstly, the principles, or the guidelines, if you like, relating to applications, what they can be, what they shouldn't be, what we're looking for. Then they can find the application form itself. And then there is a guide to filling in the application, just to make it easier. There are instructions as to where to submit that. And then what we ask people to do, is, if we have any questions, we'll get back to you with those. But then we ask people to make a short presentation, which at the moment, obviously, we're doing online, just to present their project and answer any further questions that anybody has. But that's a very informal, easy process. Only takes about 20 minutes.
Brilliant. And as I said before, I've been part of the Innovation Fund and I've been accepted. And I've also joined a film group society called Society Films, who actually taught me with the funding of Innovation Funding how to do a short movie on your mobile phone. So as you can see, it does help the community and it helps service users to get a little bit of confidence. So I admire this funding.
And one of the things we look to do, obviously we can only support projects for a limited amount of time with this sort of budget. But we try to look for projects that will be sustainable, can lead on to other things, something which will be which will attract longer term sources of funding. And thus, will be of lasting benefit to a lot of people.
Yes, I think that's a really, really, really good point because you do want to continue. But just to go back, because what fascinated me was the example you gave about Ali from Syria about the beekeeping. Can you expand on that? Because I'm really interested to know what you really got from it in equipment, for example, and is it still going?
Well, the main thing he asked for in terms of equipment was beekeeping equipment. So it was the suits, which are not cheap, but they last, and therefore they'll benefit a number of people. And he has good ideas as to how to keep the project running, and what we were able to help him with will be of benefit to those people over a number of years.
And what about the actual hive? Was that part of the financing?
The hives he had already.
Oh, I see. Okay. And he, as you said, he's trying to expand it. So that's kind of good news. Any other examples?
Well, we had an interesting project also last year about a bicycle maintenance.
Okay.
And the idea was that people with bicycles, the servicing of bikes in shops is fairly expensive. And this was to support classes which were going to teach people how to maintain their bike, how to do basic repairs, how to mend punctures, how to change brake blocks, that sort of thing. And then that was possibly going to lead on to a slightly more ambitious project where, for example, people could start to electrify their bikes.
Well, I like to lead on to that because I think the chap you were talking about, I've actually phoned him up because I'm getting a bit over the hill, so to speak. And I've been a bicycle or cycle rider all my life. And at a particular age, it's my legs are getting tiring. So he is actually expanding to that and he's doing very well. Fantastic. Thank you so much. For that information. And one thing, of course, is the three boroughs in London. And hopefully there's a voice out there for Nationwide, which we'll try and give you that information at the end of the show. But your last choice of music, Simon, and what it might have meant for you.
I would like the Live 8 version of Pink Floyd's Comfortably Numb.
Very good choice.
There is something about this particular version that has got a lot of very, very raw emotion in it. It's the last track the band ever played together, and it's absolutely one of my most favourite pieces of music. I suppose it's a little sensitive on the given why he's comfortably numb. It's in the context of the recovery services, it has implications. Yes, yes. But
I think was it possibly about Syd Barrett, one of the original members? It could have been, but it's one of my favourites. I've seen it in concert back in the day. I think a wonderful choice. So over to that song. Thank you very much.
Cool. I don't know if that one was.
I don't know. You know what it could have been? It could have been the other, Shine On Your Crazy Diamond.
Yeah, that's certainly it.
Yes.
I think by the time... I think the wall is more about just about the music industry.
Yes.
Because if you remember, he's comfortably numb because he's been drugged up to the eyeballs before giving his... Before doing the show.
Yes.
But to that extent, it could be said. So,
Now that's good. Keep it in because viewers might actually... or listeners might say something.
And there is something about that. There is something about that version of it. The guitar solo, the second guitar solo, is just
it takes you away. It takes you away. Weirdly enough, I saw what's the guy's name, the bass player who writes the lyrics.
Gilmore.
Not Gilmore, the...
Oh,
Waters. Because they split, didn't they? And they do their own concerts.
Yes.
Did the wall on his own.
Yes.
I think...
Because it was his music, but it wasn't his... But the band named, much to his consternation, was not.
But they did the solo. I don't know who the guy did the solo. I suppose maybe I'm a bit biased. Hi, this is Jude again on Speak Up Radio. We're talking about the Innovation Fund. And I've got a person here, his name's Ray, who applied and was successful in getting the funding. So I just want to introduce Ray and ask him a few questions about it so you might be able to get the funding yourself. So, hi Ray, how you doing?
Hello Jude, I'm good.
Good. Nice to meet you. So as I said, we're talking about innovation funding. How did you hear about it, first of all?
I would volunteer at Bob on the weekend, and Nathan, one of Turning Point's, what does he do with him?
Yeah, he's one of the managers, isn't he? I think he works with the, was it ETE? Yeah, exactly. He's got a lot of information, obviously, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he mentioned it to me because he saw that I do bikes, I fix bikes and so on. So he said, you know, why not apply for a grant to carry on what you're doing?
Brilliant. So when you say, so that the project was for bicycles. So so exactly what, to service the bikes or was it for a particular thing?
Bike maintenance in general.
Right.
You know, whether it's light servicing, heavier work, like bottom brackets, that might be.
Okay, fantastic.
Or just the community thing where people who couldn't necessarily afford to take their bikes to bike shops these days, and then they let them get run down and so on.
Right.
So I've stepped in, and with this project, they don't pay for parts or labour. They just bring their bike.
Fantastic.
And I kind of teach them a little bit to whatever degree they're willing to learn on how to sort of keep it maintained or carry out some of the work.
That sounds great. So a real community project. So just to make it clear, Bob stands for Build on Belief. And you're at the Acorn Centre. And we're here on a Saturday. And I don't know if you can hear in the background, they're actually... getting food donations and they parcel them up and give it out to the local community, which is wonderful. But to get back to the innovation funding, so was it Nathan from Turning Point gave you the information, was it easy to apply for? Was there forms? How easy was it?
There's two parts of the forms. How to apply.
An information sheet.
To apply. And then there's a form. But the form can be a bit tricky.
It
can be a bit sort of misleading unless you really know what it's about.
Yeah, I understand.
Say, a lot of people think it's a sort of like a business thing.
Yeah.
You know, where there's some commercial part to it, but it isn't. Even people in the Turning Point think that.
So
there's been bits of mix-up with that.
Did you have anybody help you on that then?
Yeah, I had Anya and Susan from Doors.
Oh, from Dawes. So yeah. there are people there.
Yeah.
When you're applying for something, they can help you with it. So did that take a lot of time? Was it frustrating?
It did, actually, because, you know, it's like finding what exactly was required, because there's different ways of interpreting things. And like I said, people are interpreting it differently.
Yeah.
You know, people.
And you've got to get it right, otherwise you don't get the money, do you?
But I mean, once we knew what we was doing, it's just a matter of like wording it, you know.
Yeah.
Explaining and describing what you're looking to do and how it benefits the community and so on.
So very community based.
And then you have a sort of interview, I had an interview with.
Is that a panel of people or?
Yeah, well, how many people there? Two or three, or four, including Anya and myself.
Did you feel a bit nervous there or intimidated?
No,
or?
No, not at all.
Are you okay? That's good to hear. So it wasn't.
Plus, I had a call from John. Was it David? One of them, anyway. Four.
From the panel, to just to ease you in. And I know you can get up to $2,500. Is that what you applied for?
About $2,000.
Yeah, brilliant. So, tell us how the project is, you know, how's it going? Well, you obviously got it.
Very busy.
Okay.
I'm working on four bikes at the moment. I've got other people waiting.
Right.
But some of these repairs have been really serious to me.
Okay.
Wheels, bottom bracket.
Right.
Back to back, hold up a wheel. Bought some new and I bought some used because so many people are gone, especially back wheels.
Okay. You know, yeah.
They're gone and they need trimming and various things.
That's the main thing, the back wheel, isn't it?
Yeah, one of the main parts. But I'm getting a few bottom brackets as well, because people have been riding them and they haven't
had them serviced or anything. Yeah.
Those are easiest to go. Apart from that, I still have to go back to them. So I might do some work and then something else crops up.
Right.
So I'm back and forth. So really, I should be doing four at the same time.
Yeah.
I should sort of do it more in sequence.
Yeah.
Because I've got someone crying over there, someone over there. There's not enough time to be with everyone at the same time.
Yeah.
And plus it's difficult to get my admin done as well.
So there is a little bit of admin to do prices and
Column
in it. Okay. But it's going good and you're happy?
It's going good, yeah. I mean, set the start and learning how best to organise it, and what people need more than what they don't need.
Right.
So,
So it's improved your skills in that respect, the admin side of it. And
well, I do admin organize. My other stuff.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I'm self-employed, so I do.
Okay. Sounds wonderful. So is there any comebacks? Do you have to report to the Innovation Fund panel at any time, or is it a continuous thing?
Yeah, at some point. Imagine I'll be
called back in to see how it's going. Sounds absolutely wonderful.
That's why I need the admin done as well.
To keep it all in order, receipts and all that sort of stuff. I can understand. But it seems a great community project. People seem to be happy from it, and hopefully it will grow. So thank you very much for that, Ray. Now, I'm going to put you on a bit of a spot here. I want you to think about maybe one or two songs that maybe meant something to you during your life. I don't know if you've got,
there's millions.
I know there's millions because I'm a music guy myself.
Millions from
but is there one
reggae, soul, jazz, pop, this and that. But there's one track that I knew when I was a kid.
Okay.
Cat Stevens.
Ah.
In fact, the whole album.
Yeah.
It's one of his best, but it's not rated
by
other people. It's called Foreigner.
Okay.
And the first track called Foreigner Sweet.
Okay.
And it's about 20 minutes long.
Okay.
And it's brilliant. It's fantastic.
Well, I'm a big Cat Stevens fan back in the day, because obviously he changed religion and just dropped out of commercial music. But I have to recap and put, look at my Cat Stevens albums and see what that one was. 20 minutes
Foreigner.
Long. Foreigner.
And the first one. I'll
bear that in mind.
So I sort of moved into different styles.
Wow, and it stands out for you, so that's interesting.
Level four.
Well, I'm going to try and get somebody to put that on for you. But in the meantime, thank you so much for getting involved in the project and giving us this information. And good luck for the future.
Okay.
Cheers. Yes.
There are no words I can use because the meaning is still easy for you to choose.
Hey, that's a nice...
First line of Coroner's Week.
Okay, that's a lovely way to end. Thank you very much, Ray. Cheers, my man. Take care. So, thank you very much for everybody who has given up their time to talk about various subjects. That's my slot for today, and keep listening. Thank you.
There are no words I can use because the meaning still leaves for you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. If you'd like to leave us any feedback, you can email us at speakup@advocacyproject.org.uk, or you can go to our website www.advocacyproject.org.uk/speakupradio. That's all one word. Thanks so much for listening, and do let us know what you thought.